go. Interesting lesson. It amazes me as, and I'm sure that Norm, our elder, Mel, can attest to this, that you can read the same thing in the Bible week after week. But as you get older and you dig into it, new things come to light. Something that appears so obvious now, but 10 years ago, you read it and you never saw it. And for me, the Beatitudes are exactly like that. They're these lessons that you read from when you're a child. You're taught this in the youngest of all the classes about the Beatitudes, and you've heard them through middle school, through high school. As you come back to church, you hear sermons about them, but there was something about putting this sermon together that was different this time around. What is a beatitude? Why are they even called beatitudes? Well, a beatitude, it comes from Latin, and it really means blessed, as it's translated in the NIV there. Sometimes it's translated in some of the newer translations, happy. I'm not real fond of that translation. I'm happy when I get a bike. I'm pretty happy about that. I'm happy when work's done. You know, and you get to get in your car and come home. I'm happy when I get Walmart chicken. You know, little things in life make me happy. I'm not sure that Jesus was saying, you'll be just like, you know, the day you got Walmart chicken under these circumstances. As a matter of fact, it's far from it. And as I was looking through the Word, or looking up the Word and looking through the New Testament, I came across a definition that I'm actually very happy with. The Greek word used there, it's a very, very old lexicon. That's what translates the Greek to the English. It helps to identify what words meant when they were written at that time. And it's a very, very old lexicon. And this was the definition for the word that was used. A privileged recipient of divine favor. Far from the feeling I have when I get Walmart chicken. A privileged recipient of divine favor. Wow. And the whole set of Beatitudes are, and some may disagree, but they are a series. It is a progressive level of holiness, or some may use the big multi-syllabic word, sanctification. There are steps we go through in our lives. For some of us, we start out, and it takes a while to progress to different steps. Sometimes we jump over them. They're not necessarily sequential. I seem to think that they are for most causes, most people. But the Beatitudes are really about God's gift, His gift of Christ, His gift of grace in Christ, in the faith He's given us, and what we will receive now, today, this time, as well as progressively getting better in the future. So I'd like to take today, and briefly and quickly, because it's certainly way too much time to go through each beatitude, but quickly run through these beatitudes and give you a new perspective and a new way to look at what Jesus is teaching His disciples and what He's teaching us today. You talk about application. Show me something in the Bible and what it means to me today. This is it. The poor. We've heard many times, I've heard many times, Jesus wants us to help the poor. He certainly does. Different type of poor, I would argue with you here. These are poor in spirit. And not just poor. You've heard the story of the widow's mite, the poor woman who came and only had two mites. She was poor. Different word. This is someone with nothing. Someone who has lost all. They've got no means to support themselves. A beggar who hides in the corner and is embarrassed for anyone to even recognize. The poor in spirit. One who has finally come to the point where the Holy Spirit has knocked them out at the knees and said, you're nothing. You're worthless. You can't do it on your own. And the brain has caught hold of that and understands how poor in spirit we really are. I think each of us have gone through something similar to that. We had our Bible study in Revelation. And as I was putting this together, it reminded me when we were talking about the seven churches, there were two churches in particular that we talked about, the church in Laodicea and the church in Smyrna. And I had to put this down for Jan's sake. She went through that Bible study and she drugged people through that kicking and screaming, you know. So this goes back to that Bible study, to the church in Laodicea. Because you're lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. And I do not need a thing. But you do not realize how wretched, pitiful, and poor, blind and naked you are. They thought they were rich. They had it all. And God says, you're poor. But to the church in Smyrna, I know the tribulations. I know the bad things you're going through. I know the tough times. And I know your poverty. But I tell you, you are rich. They're paradoxes. They're opposites. These people are poor. They have nothing. And God says, you're not poor. You're rich. Your wealth is beyond what you can count. We've been convinced of our spiritual poverty. That's what this first beatitude is. You are a privileged recipient of divine favor when you recognize the spiritual poverty you have. And yours is the kingdom. It's yours right now. It's you're a part of it. Blessed is are those who mourn. I would say to you that mourning, although we associate it with sadness and despair and being very unhappy, this is a different level of mourning. Because when you recognize your spiritual poverty and you recognize that in yourself there's no hope, it brings about sadness. From the Old Testament, Ezra was a great man, great book to read. Ezra was among the exiles. And when Ezra was out there, a very devout, very, very righteous man, very religious man, Ezra withdrew from the people. And he went to a room by himself, and he drank no food, and he drank no water. And the Bible tells us he mourned over the unfaithfulness of the people around him. He cried, sobbed, and he wept. Those who recognize that spiritual poverty, they mourn. Blessed are the meek. A privileged recipient of divine favor are those meek. Sometimes we hear the word meek and we think cowardness. Someone not willing to stand up. I argue this, that's not the case here. There is a transition that is going on. As we run through this levels of holiness, if you will, or this progression of holiness, when you recognize that you can't do it, it's not about you, it's not in you, and you recognize and realize that it's all about Christ and the cross, there is a humbleness that takes place, a meekness. When you've been knocked to your knees, when you realize that the spiritual despair and poverty in your life, and you're sad and you weep, you finally begin to put your trust in Christ. And you stand and say, I can't hold a candle to what He's done for me. That's meekness. That's humbleness. They will inherit the earth. all you see, everything around you, we are given to rule over. Inherit. If you inherit it, that means you didn't earn it. If you've inherited it, that means it's been a wonderful gift from someone who died and left it to you. It's all about Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is not, you know, about 11 o'clock, my stomach starts to make noises. It growls and it's loud and I know it's time to eat lunch. At about 5:15, Julie says, you need a Snickers bar. You know, you're starting to turn into Joe Pesci. Eat something. Supper's not ready. It won't be ready for 45 more minutes. This is a different level of hungerness, a different level of thirsting. It's when your lips, you've seen it on TV shows, the lips start to chap up. You need water. You're dehydrating. You need something to eat. You're dying. You're gasping. You have to have it. In this case, it's not about food. I should say it's not about food that kills, but it's about the bread from heaven. It's about righteousness. It's what Christ has to offer. What a privileged recipient of divine favor is the one who desires, cannot get enough of, the Word of God. I need the sacraments. I need to hear the Word. They are blessed, and they will be filled. You want to know what kind of filled this word is? It's beautiful to be able to go through the language and really understand what was written. This is Golden Corral type of full, all right? This is the buffet, the never-ending buffet filled, where you paid your $7.95 and you're going to make it worth it, right? They're losing money on you today. You can't get enough to fill adequately your hunger and your thirst. And the Christ says in the Beatitude, you will be filled to the brim. Those who have come out of that depths of poverty, their spiritual despair, their mourning over sin, their brokenness, cry to God for fulfillment. The Beatitudes start to become so positive in our respect towards us. The merciful. A privileged recipient of divine favor is the one who is merciful. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. Who showed mercy? It was the Good Samaritan that helped that man along the side of the road. The priest passed him by. The Levite walked on the other side of the road. But the Samaritan, the one who should have disliked this man, the one who was an enemy of this man, picked him up and showed mercy. We become more and more like Christ, who showed mercy to each and every one of us by giving us his gift of faith and not what we truly deserved. The pure in heart. I love John MacArthur's explanation of pure. Ceremonially clean. The heart. The heart's where everything comes from. We think it's the head, but the heart is the way we act. We're hypocrites. We say one thing, we do another. We say love your enemy, we find it very difficult to do so, myself included. John MacArthur said, these are the people who have experienced the purifying influence of the Holy Spirit. They exhibit an outward behavior that is identical with their inward heart, their inward disposition. They're not hypocrites. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Who better to be a peacemaker than one who is truly emulating the Prince of Peace? Does that mean lie down and let people walk all over you? No. We stand up for what we believe in, our faith. I will under no circumstances back down from my faith in Christ. and that is a peacemaker. We're not out to make war. We're simply spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And you will come across people who are not interested in hearing it. I'm not here to make war with you. I just want to tell you about Jesus. The new thing right now that I've seen is, actually it's not too new. I guess it's about 5 or 6 years old now, but everyone's promoting coexist. Coexist. And they use all the religious symbols. Christianity, the cross is the T, and you know the moon and the Muslim symbols. I agree, we should all certainly not run around killing each other. Don't get me wrong. But all of those different belief systems, they contradict each other. As a peacemaker, I simply want to point out the differences, because my God saves and gives me eternal life. And that's important. Those who have been saved by the Prince of Peace become peacemakers. God urges man to find everlasting peace through His Son. And finally, we come to the persecuted. You've recognized your spiritual depravity. You've mourned. And God's lifted you up and showed you His Son. And for that, you stand under the cross humbled. You starve. You thirst. You desire for His Word in your life. For Him to be a part of you every day, every minute of your existence. And you show mercy to others because of your pure heart. And you desire peace. If you truly live your life this way, you will be persecuted. I mean, it could be something as simple as someone no longer wanting to be your friend. That's persecution in a sense. But to the extreme, persecution is oppressing, not desiring to be around you, locking you in jail, which they do in some countries. Heaven help us, should that ever come to the United States, but they do in other countries. You preach or practice Christianity out in the open, you get locked up in jail or beaten. What a privileged recipient of divine favor you will be when you're persecuted for my name's sake. Because of me, because of Jesus. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. A progressive step. These are the Beatitudes. And Christ tells us, rejoice! Be glad! It's so hard to rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted. But these are the steps. I think sometimes we go back a couple. Sometimes we get knocked back down and we recognize our depravity, the things that we think are so important, but they're not. And sometimes we take a couple steps forward. The Beatitudes to me are about living life. And we experience them all the time. But these Beatitudes are really all about our gift. Not just the gift we receive today, the kingdom, but what this whole Sunday is all about, All Saints' Day. We have those who have gone on before us, who have died in the faith. And they are receiving these gifts tenfold in the presence of their Lord. That is what All Saints' Day is really about. These Beatitudes tell us, this is your path. Here's where you're headed. You're headed back to meet those who've departed on before you, to be in the presence of your Lord. And that's why they're so wonderful. And what I got out of it putting this sermon together this week. So as Christians, rejoice. Be glad. And live this path. Accept this beautiful gift that God has given you today. But will be greatly fulfilled even more so when you see Him face to face. Amen.